believe those who are seeking the truth, doubt those who find it. The Richard Serrett Show on News Talk 1010 CFRB.
Victor Vigiani stays with us in studio from Exopolitics Toronto. Of course, the first and third Wednesdays of each month, we dedicate the full 3 hours to UFO disclosure, alternative energy. And we're seeing more and more how those two topics really dovetail. We're now happy to have back on the program Grant Cameron, an important researcher in the field and author of the now famous Presidential UFO website, and obviously the John Podesta appointment to, as co-chair of the Barack Obama transition team, remains front and center with those in the disclosure movement. And Grant, just give us your overall impression of that appointment and why it is so important.
It's extremely important in terms of the fact that John Podesta had two positions under Bill Clinton, and the Clinton administration was notorious for having been the one administration we know for a fact tried to get disclosure on the UFOs situation. And Podesta was chief of staff for Bill Clinton and was not sort of shy to describe himself as a fellow who is very interested in X-Files, and had a going into his office in the White House, he had all sorts of X-File paraphernalia, and there was a number of stories about the fact that he would watch all the X-Files episodes every week, and he would apparently at one point even phoned Area 51 to see what was going on there. It was just sort of fascinated with the whole outer space UFO type thing, and then became famous in, I can't remember what the year was, 2002, 2004, when Sci-Fi, the TV or the network, put on a UFO sort of disclosure press conference, and John Podesta stood up at that press conference and basically said that even though he was skeptical on UFOs, he believed it was time for everything to be opened up and for the government to open up all the UFO files. And research done on his work during the Clinton administration showed that not only was he interested in UFOs, he was also very interested in open government and in disclosure on all sorts of subjects. And that under the Clinton administration, there was 800 million pages of documents that were declassified based upon an executive order that Bill Clinton instituted in 1995. And the research indicates that the big player behind that research and to get this moving was John Podesta. So he's interested in UFOs, and he's also very interested in getting out secrets, in having an open government that, as he says, sunshine is the best disinfectant. He's made a number of speeches, has been very open about the fact that he is in favor of openness. And yet, on the other hand, I think sometimes in ufology we sort of forget that he has the other side to him as well. He's also very notorious for being the guy who covered up the Monica Lewinsky and all the other women. That was his job. And he also got Monica Lewinsky a job outside the outside of Washington when it all fell apart. And he was the type of guy who was able to bail out Clinton and all the scandals. That was his one of his main jobs, and he identified it as one of his main jobs.
Grant
so he's
Cameron,
a very powerful guy and very interesting guy.
Grant Cameron with us here on the Richard Serrett Show, News Talk 1010, CFRB, the website, presidentialufo.com, www.presidentialufo.com. One, I guess, has to wonder whether when Podesta was vetted, whether he sat down and actually had a conversation with Barack Obama that might have gone something like, are you going to keep this UFO stuff on the back burner? Is it possible he was appointed because of that or in spite of that? I guess that's the question.
I don't know if it really had much to do. I think it's just Podesta is a very, very powerful guy in Washington. And you'll see in the last couple of days in the media that they're talking about Clinton too, that basically what you have here is basically the Clinton administration all over again with Barack Obama running the show. And I had a lecture last spring where I talked about this, the fact that you in Washington, even though when Barack Obama was running against Hillary Clinton, he said Hillary was not the person to choose because you can't change Washington by shuffling the chairs around, which is basically what he's done. And what happens is that if you're a Democratic person, unless you've got an awful lot of relatives, you've got tens of thousands of jobs to fill, and you're basically going to have to use Democrats who are in Washington who know what's going on. And Podesta is the guy who knows what's going on in Washington. Very powerful guy. His brother, Tony Podesta, is one of the main lobbyists in Washington, sort of a very powerful family. So I think that was the main thing. Now, there may have been some discussion about disclosure on different issues. And there's no doubt that Barack Obama knows, if he vetted Podesta, he would know the fact that Podesta has this bizarre side to him, that he's very interested in disclosure on UFOs. He's very interested in this whole aspect. So that probably was discussed at some point. But I think the main reason Podesta was chosen, because of his very powerful contact with all the Clinton people and all the Democrats, and he knows how to fill it. And he's even said that he's basically going to be the transition guy. He apparently was offered the Secretary of Energy, from what I heard, and turned it down, said no, he wanted to just do this thing where he put all the people in, and then he's going back to his institute. He's really not that interested in being in the actual government. So,
yeah, that really intrigues me, Grant, that the advisors to Barack Obama, you know, when they put this in place, I guess it probably happened, the appointment at the beginning of October in that time frame. But I always wonder, and I've been wondering ever since when I found out the appointment, what the advisors were thinking when they recommended to Barack Obama that, yes, let's get Podesta involved in this, despite the fact that he is an openly advocated disclosure person. I just sense that there's something afoot there that would, I guess, sanction someone like that being appointed to such a powerful position. Would they not feel that the pressure that could be exerted on Podesta from the exopolitical community, or just the UFO community, period, or from other UFO advocates, that the pressure just might get to this fellow to a point where he has to at least make some sort of move to at least address the issue, much in the same way that Rockefeller addressed it in the Clinton administration? They opened the door, I guess is what I'm saying.
Sure.
How do you respond to that?
Well, I agree. And it's to our advantage that eventually this will come up, that Podesta will have to face this question by the media as to his former interest in the X-Files and all this sort of stuff. But Barack is doing it as well with Clinton. I mean, if you take a look at Hillary Clinton, this idea that she's going to be brought in as Secretary of State, she's got way more baggage in terms of UFOs than does Podesta. Podesta is still seen as a powerful guy, but Clinton, you have all sorts of baggage, not only UFO baggage, but all sorts of baggage, and they're sort of weighing it. And again, I don't know why they would go to Hillary in terms of bringing her in, because she's she did the channeling thing, which is pretty goofy, and they know about the. I was talking to Victor about this. I have confirmed at the Clinton Library, this is a connection between Podesta and Hillary Clinton, that I put in, as people know, I put in about 100 Freedom Information Act requests with the Clinton Library, and one of them had to do with John Podesta's 50th birthday, which occurred back in the 1990s. And during that birthday party, Bill and Hillary Clinton dressed up like the X-Files characters, and they had a little skit for John Podesta's birthday, and they also got the X-Files cast to sing Happy Birthday on tape to him. And this was all photographed, and this was all put on video. So one of the requests that I had as a Freedom Information Act request is I wanted the video and I wanted the photographs from John Podesta's 50th birthday party with Bill and Hillary dressed up like the X-Files. And I was told, I was at the library in April, and I talked to Dana, who is the sort of the main person who's dealing with the FOIA material. And they knew who I was, because I'd filed all this stuff. Everybody in the library seemed to know who I was. And so I said to her, I said, well, how are my requests doing? Because it's going very slow. So she said, well, I'll make a list. I said, well, no, hang on. Just give me one. I want to know about the video for John Podesta's, and I gave her the number. It's 544, the request number. I want to know about the video from John Podesta's 50th birthday, whether that's been processed yet. So she came back to me about 5 minutes later and said, yes, it's been processed. We're finished with it, and we've sent it on, which means that they sent it to Clinton, Bill Clinton, and his lawyer. And they have 30 days to release it or to withhold it or do whatever they want to do. But they've got 30 days. Now, this was in April. And so then recently this whole issue came up again about Podesta and stuff. And so I was talking to Billy Cox in the States, the reporter, and we were talking about it, and I said, well, I'm sure I was told in April that this thing had been cleared by the Clinton Library, and they were finished with their end of it, and that Bill Clinton had a decision back in April to release this tape. And I figured back then, well, he wasn't going to release it because Hillary was running for president or whatever, and there was always this sort of excuse. But this is just a bombshell. That once they released this videotape, and I don't know whether it's 15 minutes long or whatever, and it has this whole thing about the X-Files and Bill and Hillary Clinton and sort of stuff, that kind of stuff will, to me, would just kill Hillary. I mean, and so that kind of baggage, you got to weigh these guys going in there, but I guess all of them will have something that if you dig into their background,
absolutely,
will be something that is not going to be, you've got to weigh the good versus the bad.
Listen, I've got to cut in here, Grant.
Yep.
We'll take a quick time out, come back, and continue to discuss the appointment of John Podesta, UFO disclosure in a Barack Obama White House. Back with more of the Richard Serrett Show, News Talk 1010, CFRB. Grant Cameron is with us. He's lectured widely in Canada and the United States on the Canadian government's early investigations into flying saucers, UFO disclosure politics, and the presidential UFO connection. His books, UFOs, MJ-12, and the Government, and Tales of Charlie Red Star. Grant, let me ask you a question here that we talked about, how disclosure and energy sort of dovetail. Are you hearing anything coming out of the transition team or even from, I don't know, Barack Obama's people about a new Manhattan project to discover some sort of alternative energy?
Unfortunately, it's exactly the opposite. Barack has talked a lot about energy, but the way they are talking about it is to move from a high carbon to a low carbon environment. And John Podesta, as I said, was offered the Secretary of Energy about 2 months ago on the website from the Center for American Progress, which Podesta runs. He actually has an article on the new program to create good jobs and start building a low-carbon economy. So he basically writes this major article on his view of energy in the coming years, and he talks about retrofitting buildings, mass transit, constructing smart electrical grid transmissions, wind power, solar power, advanced biofuels. No mention of any sort of revolutionary power sources, anything. Basically, just going with the straight old, better batteries, wind power, solar power. Almost exactly the opposite type of thing. And that's what sort of makes me wonder if there was something that Barack and Podesta were thinking up about some sort of thing where we would sort of slip in the UFO thing. There would be some indication from the writings, and I've checked all the writings and all the articles and stuff, and I really haven't found anything yet that sort of indicates that even talking about something revolutionary type of power, and Podesta spells it out, but it's not that kind of energy that he's looking at, which is kind of unfortunate.
All right, Grant, we've got news here at the bottom of the hour. Stay with us. Back on the other side, Grant Cameron talking presidential UFOs. More of the Richard Serrett Show, along with Victor Vigiani here on News Talk 1010 CFRB. UFO researcher Grant Cameron is with us. And again, the website is presidentialufo.com. Grant, before I turn it over to Victor, if I'm hearing you correctly, it doesn't sound like you're too optimistic about chances for something dramatic happening vis-a-vis UFO disclosure with regards to John Podesta.
Okay. Make a clarification between energy policy, which they've kind of pretty well spelled out where they're planning to go, which doesn't seem to include UFOs. But on the front of UFO disclosure, I think Barack does have some possibility of being a guy who, if he was approached, if he was pressured, would be the type of guy who would not be really afraid to go there. Because a lot of what you'll hear about, we can't disclose because the Russians, the terrorists, this, that, whatever. But I think Barack is the type of guy that kind of stuff is not really going to scare him. He knows about openness. He knows about his view of the world is much, much different than sort of the old-style American view that everybody's out to get us and we have to keep this secret and that sort of stuff. I think Barack would be the type of guy that if he was put in a position where he had a chance to disclose, I think he'd say, yeah, what's the big deal? Let's go down that road. So I think in that sense, it still comes down to ufologists. It still comes down to people pressuring these people, and that's where I think Podesta is good, because Podesta opens it up for reporters to ask not so much the extraterrestrial question, but the question of why are you interested in UFOs, and it sort of takes away that's from the big press in the White House, sort of the idea that it's a crazy thing. It's something they can talk about. The same with Hillary. Hillary is a godsend. If she gets Secretary of State, then the whole Rockefeller Initiative and all that stuff and the 100 Free Information Act requests I've got are all back on front page, because the worst thing that happened with us was we had all this good material on Hillary, like this video and this sort of stuff, and a lot of stuff that showed that Hillary was very interested in this subject, and Bill was very interested. But the thing was, she fell off the front pages of the newspaper, and then it came down to, like, who cares what Hillary thinks about UFOs? But if she can become Secretary of State, then there is a chance that there's going to be some pressure exerted on the Obama administration to talk about UFOs. And that, to me, is what it comes down to. It comes down to pressure that a government, whether it's Barack Obama or anybody else, will only move when they are under pressure to answer questions. And if Hillary's in there, there's a chance to ask questions about the subject. If Podesta's in there, and there are other people. Anthony Lake is one person who's a national security advisor to Barack Obama, who is a guy who was quoted as saying the UFO subject is very highly classified when he was national security advisor to Bill Clinton. General Wesley Clark was campaigning for Barack Obama, was in Roswell only a couple days before the end of the election, was one of the big supporters, the big military people that was supporting Barack Obama. Well, he's famous for his whole statement about he believes we can go past the speed of light, and he's argued with physicists, and then told Dr. David Rudiak that, yeah, he knew a little bit when he was asked whether he'd been briefed on UFOs, said, yeah, I know some. And we have a problem with the mathematics, and made all these bizarre statements that seemed to indicate he knew what was going on in terms of being a four-star general and having been told some of this stuff. So if General Wesley Clark is brought into the Obama administration, there's another situation where pressure can be exerted to have questions asked on the subject. And the last one is Richardson, who delivered the state of New Mexico for Barack Obama, brought the Latin American vote in for Barack Obama, and he was former Secretary of Energy under Bill Clinton, and is made numerous pro-Roswell statements, and is another guy that can be questioned. And if these people are all in the administration, it gives us a lot of open doors to get the question asked, not so much directly UFO, but people in the administration have this interest, so that sort of gives it some legitimacy for the White House press corps to start asking questions.
So how will that break through, Grant, in terms of her appointment as Secretary of State? And let's assume that that does transpire. What kind of wedge, or what kind of in would the exopolitical or even the ufological community have to re-inject the Rockefeller similar kind of initiative? Like, how will that come about?
Okay, what happened, like, let me give you an example. When the Free Information Act request material was first released by the Clinton Library, and that was November the 2nd of 1997, of the first 18 requests, I think 12 of them were UFO stuff. And so the major media, whether it was Fox News or Associated Press or the Washington Post, Like the Washington Post talked to me for an hour and a quarter, and they were just fascinated, like, what's with this Clinton UFO stuff? And that's why I'm saying she was on the front page, because then it was suddenly she was in a situation where she might be the president, and here you get the vast majority of the first Freedom Information Act requests coming out of the Clinton Library. Everybody's waiting, of course, for the bad Hillary stuff and the Monica Lewinsky stuff to come out of the library, and suddenly the first bunch of requests come out are UFO. So it's the same thing. If she's become Secretary of State, she becomes, anything about her becomes very important, and all the media will pay attention. So if you get a situation where this videotape is released, where it shows that they were laughing and John Podesta was interested in X-Files, and they're willing to take that story. If she's not Secretary of State, if she's just some senator, who cares what she thought about it? It's not front page news, but the higher up they go, every story that comes out of the Clinton Library, and there's a lot of pro-UFO stuff going to be coming out of the Clinton Library whenever they do release it. I mean, there's a long lineup, and it takes a long time for this stuff to be released, but there are, I can't remember, 48 pages. So when I filed on Hillary Clinton and Roswell, there's 48 pages of material. Now, I don't know what the material is, how much of it will be withheld, but there's all this kind of stuff, Fox, Washington Post, Associated Press will phone and ask about. It's something that they seem to like, and it's having Hillary behind it gives it the UFO field some credibility.
Grant, exit question here, and that is, will disclosure mean anything if Barack Obama basically greenlights releasing, a lot of this UFO? Much the same way that Great Britain is now releasing their information, dribs and drabs and sightings and the sort of things that ufologists really gravitate towards, those sort of detailed radar reports, et cetera, will any of that mean anything at all unless it is inextricably linked to disclosure about energy systems, advanced energy systems?
It's a good question. I'm not really sure. The energy thing is a key. I couldn't believe when gas was $4 a gallon that somebody didn't pick up on the question of why don't we at least take a look at the rumored stories that the technology is there to get us out of this mess. And yet nobody seemed to pick up on it. I think disclosure is still something that, unless something dramatic comes out, some dramatic document is released, or unless Barack comes right out and says, I'm in favor of this, I want it out, and all the media suddenly realizes this is something they can talk about openly, and the pressure starts to get exerted, I think it will come out in dribs and drabs, and I can't see it any other way, although things happen very fast in America. If you take a look at the market or various stories that the media picks up, they get a hold of a story and then suddenly that's all they do is they run with that story. So at some point they will jump on it, and that's, to me, is why it's very important to have these high-level people who give credibility to the fact that it's there. Whether Barack will openly, he's had two chances to talk about UFOs and has sort of made jokes about it both times and sort of evaded the question. So we'll have to see what happens. I don't know.
All right, Grant, again, the website, www.presidentialufo.com. Thanks for this, and look forward to speaking to you again.
Okay.
Grant Cameron. All right, back with more of the Richard Serrett Show, News Talk 1010, CFRB. All right. Victor Vigiani stays with us, Exopolitics Toronto. We need to talk a little bit here, Victor, about your continuing a lecture series as part of the U of T lecture series. This is actually quite historic. I don't think there's any other way to put it. You've been invited by the University of Toronto and their lecture series to participate in their lecture series and talk about UFOs. I mean, this is, we talk about, waiting for disclosure from the government, but you're pursuing this, you're doing an end round around it, and you're pursuing disclosure in the academic field. And the U of T lecture series, let's be honest, normally pretty, well, academic stuff, the history of corn production and
that's right,
and these sorts of things. And here you are talking about UFOs. Give us the dates again for the U of T lecture series that you'll be appearing at.
Well, the last one that I did was in October, okay? And the next one coming up is November 28th, and it's at the right at the St. George campus of the U of T in the Baden Hall. And that's
right in the belly of the beast.
Right there, yeah. It's just down the street from Convocation Hall where Paul Hellyer came forward back in 2005. And that's one of the mainstays of the presentation. I use the Convocation Hall Symposium that Mike Bird and I ran back in 2005 with Paul Hellyer and Steve Bassett and Richard Dolan and Stanton Friedman. I use that as part of the introduction for the lectures. And I think it's important for the UFT to understand that a former Minister of Defense came onto their territory in 2005 and actually stated his belief in the fact that the UFO phenomenon was in fact real. And it's very historic in my perception anyways that I'm going back to that same location to inject the same feeling at the UFT in the academic community that the exopolitical paradigm shift is something that's emerging very, very swiftly onto the scene, and that the academic community better pay attention to this.
This is a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah.
And who's sitting out there and typically?
Well, the last gathering in the Markham Civic Center that we had, the head of the lecture series, the continuing education, Dr. Gordon Davies, was there. People pay $162 to be able to go to all of the lectures within the series. And they're like a, almost like a class that you would go to. So they take attendance and there are people there. So you've got department heads and you've got faculty members, you've got students, you have other people in the academic community within the University of Toronto, people that have been, receiving degrees, be it PhDs, MAs, whatever it happens to be, faculty advisors. And so they're all sitting in the audience. And, the Markham presentation was extremely interesting because, the silence to begin with after I began the introduction was almost, was palpable because they really didn't know exactly, how to frame it for themselves. I began it by talking about Paul Hellyer and, the fact that, you know, he said what he said back in 2005, and many of them had not heard about it. Some of them had, but many of them hadn't. They didn't realize that someone of that stature had actually come forward to talk about the UFO phenomenon. So that was a real awakening for them. And then I began to talk about the evidence and the data that has been accumulated in both, you know, within the government and within the intelligence community. And virtually none of them had any kind of awareness that this issue has been spoken about at the highest levels of governance in North America, be it the FBI, you know, CIA, NSA. They had no idea that this issue had been broached at any point by any of these senior organizations.
Let me ask you to speculate. I doing this type of show, I don't believe anything happens for an coincidentally, mm-hmm. or there's an accident, you know. But do you think that it's possible this is a test run for some sort of course on exopolitics in university?
Well, I spoke with David Peterson, the chancellor of the U of T, several months ago, even now more than a year ago when Al Gore came. And I asked David Peterson to present a package to Al Gore when he had his demonstration at Convocation Hall of the Inconvenient Truth. And David at the time was open to presenting Al Gore with the package, but then when I spoke with David about it, he was very reluctant to even assume any kind of credibility to this whole issue. So I put that aside, fine. But then I thought more about it, and after I met with or had spoken to Jack Layton last summer, he said, you need to go to the academic community with this. So I took that as a sign that perhaps I should consider this more carefully. Now, why it happened, I got a telephone call the day after I got back from the X conference in last April, and after my presentation there from the coordinator of the program at U of T. I can't imagine, Richard, that there's any kind of concerted effort to have that done. I would like to think that that's a possibility, but I don't think so. That's not my sense of it. I think that the individual who called me just followed a lot of the press releases that I've put out, some of the articles that I've published in the National Post. He had done some reading on it, and he just said, well, maybe this is just something interesting. Maybe I'm being naive in assuming that, but to answer your question straight up, I don't think so. That's my gut sense.
All right, when is the next lecture again?
November 28th at Bond Hall at the University of Toronto, right at the St. George campus. It's at 12:30. Now, they're not open to the public, unfortunately, because people have paid a certain...
Right.
Price for it, and they get to go there. Now, if you want to crash the party and be there at the door and maybe worm your way in, maybe we can get you there.
Okay. Well, listen, you got to take this lecture series on the road, maybe. Listen, we'll take a quick time out
here.
Come back and a few programming notes before we dim out the lights. The Richard Serrett Show, News Talk 1010 CFRB. All right, we are out of time. Just enough time to thank Victor Vigiani once again. Victor, always a yeoman's duty. We appreciate that.
Always a pleasure.
All right, Mark Tang, thank you. Our webmaster, Derek Welsman. Roger Tolsis will be with us tonight at 10 o'clock. L.A. private investigator specializing in electronic countermeasures. And we're talking about electronic harassment and mind control. Of course, Bill Gibbons, the Dinosaur Hunter, will be here as well. Don't forget on Friday, a three-hour special as we approach the 45th anniversary of the JFK assassination. In the meantime... don't be afraid. There's nothing concealed that won't be revealed and nothing hidden that won't be made known. What you hear in the dark, speak in the light. What I say in a whisper, proclaim from the housetops. Move over, Aphrodite. I'm coming home. Good night.